Blog Talk Radio.
This is 6, okay. So yeah, let's get these in there. Okay. So okay, let's stop this. Stop this. Okay, so this is number 9. This is number 10. Okay. Okay, boom, put this up there, and have this on loop. Okay, so I'll say, boom, 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 and then, boom. Okay. And in this game, the trio scored... Another thing I want to talk about, so I'm going to start off with the Eastern Conference Finals. Touch Jaylen Brown, and then I want to talk about kind of like how both teams kind of built their path. I don't want to do it too long on it, but just kind of like how like both teams kind of like built their way to the championship and how like is that the new model given the new CBA coming into play, so on and so forth. Like, do the Knicks want to, you know, does that give hope for the Knicks? Boom, boom, boom. I think we can kind of touch on that.
Sorry about the Nuggets and the Heat, right?
Yeah.
How they both build a team.
Yeah. So let's say no more than like 30 minutes on that topic. Then we'll go into top 10, another 30, and try to wrap it by then.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Okay.
I was actually just thinking about that the other day, too.
Mm. Okay.
I'll be damned if I watch the Heat go in there with 7 undrafted players and
right.
Do this damn thing.
Hang on. Okay, number 9 is Brunson, so we can go to the Brunson signing. And go there. Okay. That's number 9. Number... No. What's this? No, hold this Randall shit down. Number 9 is a Brunson signing, so we'll move that up here, and then we have this. Okay, cool. All right, so we have the Brunson signing. Okay. I'm just moving this shit in order. Number 8 is the Brunson Caruso. Okay. Probably should have had the fans vote on this, but sorry, we don't got time. Brunson Caruso. Number 7 is Knicks defeat Nuggets, okay? Okay, so in the 7. And then this is the game, okay? Okay, and then number 6 is Randall Buzzer Beater, okay? And then we got that. Okay. All right. So we should be okay. Should be good to go. All right. Okay. Now, what are we going to have up here? Oh, shit. It's 10:19 already. I'm bugging. I completely forgot about the time. Oh, well. All right. Completely forgot about the time. What can we put in here? Next. Three. is this one? What's the game we actually won?
Saw a tweet by Josh Hart.
No, what was it? So he's trending. What's it about?
I wonder if I a good thing I asked him now. I don't know if I was gonna be allowed to bring it on the show because it's a family show.
Mm-hmm.
He tweeted, "Have you all ever tasted y'all significant other's breast milk?" Asking for a friend.
Jesus Christ.
And then this guy had the audacity to retweet CJ McCollum. Ooh, CJ said, sick conversation. Heard it goes down like almond milk. Josh Hart responds, not going to lie to you, bro. It's better. Jalen Brunson chimes in and says,
check,
delete my
check,
number, bro.
Check. All right. Ready?
Yeah. Can we bring that on the show or no?
Is that yeah. Why not? Yeah. Okay. All that's right. Good.
Family show. I just want to make sure we're all.
We're good, man. We're good. All right. What do I want to do with my space here? One more thing. Select all. Boom. Okay. Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do the damn thing. All right, here we go. Check. Hang on. Oh, shit. Here we go. All right. Here we go. Salute to Knicks Nation on this Tuesday night. Back at it again for another episode of Knicks Weekly, episode 59. There's no off-season when it comes to Knicks Fan TV, man. We are in the off-season, but we are back with steady content, man. CP the Franchise, Alex Tauros. In the building tonight. On tonight's show, we got a lot to talk about, man. We are going to go through our top 10 Knicks moments of the season. Numbers 10 through 6 is what we'll talk about tonight. Plus, the Eastern Conference Finals is over, and the Miami Heat are moving on. But we're going to take a look at this thing from a Knicks perspective. Number one, did Jaylen Brown blow the bag? And what can we learn from the Miami Heat and Denver Nuggets both making it to the NBA Finals? Plus, Bob Myers, Golden State Warriors executive, is stepping down. We'll react to that. Plus a lot more, man. Salute to everybody in the chat. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Let's get those likes up. Salute to our loyal franchise channel members as well. Oh, man, we're live in a different video. Absolutely. Okay, that'll work, man. Salute, Al. What's good, man?
Come. I'm good, bro.
Listen, man.
We're live in a different video.
Yeah, we're live in a different video. You know, it's one of those things. Sometimes it happens. I accidentally pressed the wrong gauges. I thought we were live on our regular stream, and it wasn't meant to be. So we'll wait for the people to pile on in. They know how to get to us, and we will start the show. Salute to everybody in the chat. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Let me get this in here now. Salute, salute, salute. Salute to everybody in the chat once again, man. Knicks Weekly episode 59 in the building. Al, how you feeling today, man? Al, how you feeling, bro?
I'm good, man. You know, was surfing Twitterverse today, yeah. And everyone's just up in arms about whether it's Leon Rose for Bob Myers.
Yeah.
The devaluing of Jaylen Brown and the relationship, the similarities between him and Julius Randle. But all was quiet amongst those things until one Josh Hart decides to set not only Knicks Twitter ablaze, NBA Twitter ablaze.
Why is he doing it?
Well, this is a family show, but I'll try to keep it PG as best as I can.
Yeah.
Josh Hart decides to tweet out about an hour ago, "Have you all ever tasted y'all significant other's breast milk?" Asking for a friend. And there were some interesting responses that we got here. Man.
Yeah.
Interesting responses that we got here. We had CJ McCollum retweeting this saying, "Sick conversation," laughing pure emojis. "Heard it goes down like almond milk." Josh Hart then retweets that saying, "Not going to lie to you, bro. ... It's better." So, not only was I in the zone of saying this guy hasn't tried it yet, just contemplating it. You know, he just had twins. This guy has tasted them. All right, man. All right. But then Jalen Brunson had to chime in here.
Yeah, what's JB have to say?
JB said, "Nah, bro, no BS. Delete my number."
Josh Hart, who did he have twins? Or he had one baby, one seed.
I'm pretty sure he had twins.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, that's what Josh Hart is doing on his off season. You know what I'm saying? To each his own, Al. You know what I mean? I can't say I know the feeling, but hey, you know, whatever you're into, like we say on this show, whatever you're into, no testimonials. But Josh Hart decided to do otherwise. So salute to him. Shout out to him. Congratulations.
Look, man, he's just trying to get that calcium in. You know what I mean?
He's just trying to get that calcium in. You know, any way you can get it in then.
Last one for you. He retweeted De'Aaron Fox, who had a comment saying, "I'm actually not surprised you asked the question less than a month in." And Josh Hart responded, "Bro, what is it? He said, "Bro, I know every new dad wondered." I don't know about that, man.
I didn't, but... You know, like I said, to each his own, man. How was your weekend, man? How's your weekend go, bro?
It was good, man. Did some barbecuing.
Yeah.
Drank some good beer. Chilled, you know. Didn't go too far from the house. Just chilled, enjoyed the nice weather. Got outside. How about yourself, though?
Yeah, it was good, man. I had a nice getaway in the Finger Lakes, man. You know? Yeah. Did something new. Took a little road trip. Gassed up the V. You know what I mean? Grab Lady KFTV. Mm-hmm. And hit the wilderness for a little weekend getaway, man. It's nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
Five Finger Lakes. I'm sure you're drinking enough wine, having enough cheese out there.
Yep. Winding it up. You know what I mean? Doing a little hiking, a little vineyards.
Okay.
You know? A little outdoors, man. It was.
Are you a cab guy?
Am I a cab guy? You mean wine?
Yes.
No, I'm a white wine kind of guy. Yeah, I'm a white wine kind of guy. Red, okay. Reds are cool. Reds are cool, but they make me kind of sleepy. Like, if I'm going to mess with a red, I'll rock with, I'll rock with like a Malbec, maybe like a little Pinot Noir.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, I feel
but,
you,
yeah,
you.
But typically with the whites, I'll rock with like a Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay. I was on the Chardonnay kind of heavy to, over the weekend. Yeah. Yeah, I was on the Chardonnay kind of heavy. And it was good. Went to a couple vineyards and, yeah, man, had a nice time, man. Just relax. You know, sometimes just you and your thoughts, you out there in the wilderness, just you, your thoughts, and the deers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what you need, man. That's how you got to, like, in this day of, like, technology, social media, constantly wired, tuned in, got to step back a little bit. Was Lady KFTV, though, on her rosé game? That's the question.
Yeah, little rosé. You know, she was on the whites as well. Little rosé, little Riesling, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah. Right. A little bit of everything, man. So, yeah, got some sightseeing in. Nice little road trip, you know? You pass by some places you probably wouldn't want to be at by yourself at night. And you keep passing through. You say, hey, this – but you know what? It's nice. It's New York, man. And sometimes – sometimes, you know, you get out of the city, you get out of the suburbs, and you hit the rural areas, see some new stuff, man.
I'm sure you're by Cortland. Yeah. I'm sure you're by Endicott. Binghamton.
Yeah. Drove Ithaca. Past a lot of, drove through Cornell. Mm-hmm. That was nice. So, yeah, man, just off the beaten path type of vacation, but it was nice. Very good time, man. While we were on vacation, the Eastern Conference Finals was going on, man. The Boston Celtics were going for history against the Miami Heat. Boston Celtics haven't been down 3-0 in this series. Trying to make history, man. Trying to get it done. We saw the miraculous play by Derek White in Game 6 to bring this thing back to Boston. But this thing seemed like it was over on the first play, man. The Jason Tatum injury to me out did Boston in. They were already down Malcolm Brogdon, who was nothing more than a decoy, shell of himself. Mm-hmm. So they were really losing a lot of options. And then you had the Tatum injury, first play of the game, a bad turn, a bad sprain.
Yep.
And that was it, man. But give credit to Miami. You know, a lot of people, you know, I think what's so funny?
Whoa! What's up? Sorry, but we got some breaking news here.
Whoa, what's going on?
Steve Popper just reported Knicks and GM Scott Perry are parting ways with his contract expiring this summer.
Whoa! Wait a minute! Breaking news here. Whoa! Ninja Pete is out of here.
Holy cow!
Wow. Okay. Hold on. Let's get to this here. Hang on. Salute to everybody in the chat. Breaking news right here on Knicks Fan TV. Salute to Steve Popper. Let me get this set up here. Let me figure out the credentials I need to read this thing because it's behind the paywall. Okay. Here we go. All right. Let's read this. Let's read this together as a family here, shall we? Yeah, let me see. I don't think I need my glasses here. Let me see. Hang on. Hang on.
Get the bifocals ready.
Hang on. You need them. All right, here we go. This says Scott Perry arrived as Knicks general manager 2017. All right, this is a whole lot of backstory. We need to just give me the lowdown. Source confirmed that Perry will move on when his contract expires this summer. The legacy will be stability and success in an organization as rarely seen in 2 decades. Perry joined Steve Mills, providing a veteran basketball man, blah, blah, blah. They assured the exit of Carmelo Anthony, general manager. He drafted RJ, drafted Mitch, signed Julius. Remember they flipped Marcus Morris for IQ before the pick that became IQ. That was missing for Steve. Steve missed a good one here. Okay. When Leon Rose arrived as team president, he brought in his own guys. He kept Perry in place, signed him into a contract extension. They got William Wesley. You got Gerson Rosas here. Okay. After the deal that sent Anthony away for a long, contentious battle between the player and the front office when Jackson was in charge, Perry's biggest deal was a trade that sent Kristaps Porzingis to Dallas. That trade landed the Knicks 2 first-round picks and cleared salary cap space that allowed them to sign Randle, along with other moves to help create the current roster. Okay. So, Ninja P says sayonara. Immediate reaction to this with the news breaking here that Scott Perry will move on after his contract expires this summer. Not really surprised, right? When Leon Rose first came here as the new president, with Perry being here as the general manager, not known what the extent of their relationship was prior to this, but you have to expect that every new regime is going to bring in their own guy at some point. I felt like Perry was always going to be the foundation builder, the guy, the transition, part of the transition team, if you will.
Yep.
This is Leon's third year. He's going into his third off season. They brought in Gerson Rosas last off season. Gerson Rosas, as we know, was the man who was the point person for the Mitchell trade negotiations. And so it's not a shock that Perry's going to move on after this. I felt like his name had come up in other GM openings over the last few years as well. So not shocking. Overall, I thought he had an okay tenure here. They didn't mortgage the future.
Yep.
They got the Anthony trade done, you know, after Phil trashed them. The Kristaps deal was okay. We're still waiting to see what that second draft pick turns into. DSA obviously flopped. Got nothing out of DeAndre Jordan. Wes Matthews was nothing to write home about. But you know, the Marcus Morris trade, they did bring in Marcus Morris on a one-year deal. He played very well for the Knicks, played extremely well for the Knicks. He was, to me, their best player when they got him. And that was good enough to trade him at the trade deadline to the Clippers for draft considerations. They were able to use those draft considerations to ultimately, through other dealings, land Emmanuel Quickly, who placed second in NBA Sixth Man of the Year voting this year.
Look, you got to give credit to Scott Perry for what he inherited when he joined this team. You think about the immediate firing of Phil Jackson. You had Steve Mills, and then they went out and got Scott Perry that year. He was in bad shape, man. And he was part of that regime to look at getting short-term contracts to clean up the books. You still had Noah's contract on the books with his team. And it was a lot of hard work, man, to figure out how to put this team in the right direction. And you just think about where it started to where it is now. And he, as you said, he did an okay job. There's nothing that really stands off the resume saying, wow, he did this. But it's a step in the right direction towards, what's the word?
Stability.
I guess. Stability. Definitely stability. He just didn't do anything like too great or wrong. Like it was just neutral, man. He was just neutral in his dealings. And that's good for a team that has been in headlines, that was ran poor for so many years, that had to come out and figure out how to be relevant again, especially after you saw Phil Jackson give Melo nothing to be successful with. So to see that he got here, probably his best draft pick under Stephen Mills was definitely RJ. You know, under the new regime, he was part of the selection of Quickly, Grimes, all those guys. But ever since Leon Rose has gotten here, I've always questioned how much say did he actually have in these negotiations? How much was he relied on by Leon Rose and the remaining staff? Even when he got extended, it just seemed like he was there just so there wasn't that much turnover, right? Mm-hmm. Just so that there was some familiarity in the offices. Leon Rose coming in, he's never done this job before. I'm sure you're bringing guys like Walt Perrin, Zanin, Brock Oller, all these guys. you bring in all these guys, but they're not familiar with the organization. So having Scott Perry there, he's like, look, this is what this media is. Well, not, he can tell you what the media outlet is. He can tell you what the city is about, can give you an idea of like the landscape of like, this is what this roster is built like. But at this point, since he's now under Leon's tenure, the team is so far removed from what Perry has inherited and what he was overseeing that for Rose, if you're like, okay, this is the time to make a change. We got somewhere in a stable place and we can promote somebody within, you're at that point now. I mean, look, even what you said, Rosas was the one doing the negotiations, right?
Right.
Interesting that you didn't hear about Perry's name really involved in those negotiations, and that's your GM.
Yeah.
So you look at that, I think the writing was on the wall, as you said, but it was just good for that time just to have not too much turnover and someone stable in that position for continuity purposes.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you said, you know, during this time here, they didn't mess things up, which we could start there. They didn't
That's
mess
a win.
Things up. That's a win.
That's
a win. They didn't trade away the farm, drafted RJ at 3, Mitch, second round, big pickup. Mitch is already on his second contract. You have a second rounder. You're anchoring in the middle on his second deal. Now, all those good things. He provided stability. I like his Monday motivation tweets. I like those when Perry puts out those tweets. Gets my days going. They're very, very important. He's a leader. He's a good man. I like Perry. The Kevin Knox draft.
Oh,
come
man.
Come on, Scott. Listen, man, we got to take the good with the bad. Right?
Yeah, this is
we,
true.
We just praised him for 5 minutes. The Kevin Knox draft. You know, look, not every GM's not going to bat 1,000. We understand that. But Kevin Knox, come on, Scott. We're looking at Mikal Bridges, star shining brightly in Brooklyn, the wrong place in New York. He should have been here. Easy slam dunk. Stevie Wonder could have made that pick that night. If you want to go a little bit more risky. See, like the Porter Jr. thing, I wouldn't have went that way with the way that we were dealing with the Porzingis injury.
Yeah. That revisionist history for MPJ,
nah.
The Knicks were not in position
I
to take some of the back issues.
No.
The writing was on the wall for all the storylines for that. And the Knicks messed up by taking the guy with the back issues. He hasn't played this year. He hasn't played that year.
That we couldn't have taken that risk. Now, if you want to say Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, sure. Even Miles Bridges before everything happened just now with him. But Kevin Knox. That was bad, Ninja P.
That's bad.
That was bad. Mikal Bridges could have been right here, bro. Right here.
Well, the word I was going to say is competent.
Okay. Yeah.
That's it. Competent. That's it. Nothing great, nothing bad, just competent. Yeah. That's how I describe Scott Perry. The Kevin Knox thing, terrible.
Yeah.
But hey, as you said, we got the anchor in the middle. We got RJ two out of your three guys, you know.
Yeah.
They're out there.
People in the chat.
How do you feel about Alonzo Trier?
Yeah. They gave birth to the ISO Zoe hive for a quick season. Undrafted. Buckets.
Yeah, I was part of that hive.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. I think it was more okay than bad. And we wish him well, man. Shout out to Ninja P, man. Saw him at plenty of games. I saw him recently in game 2. I was at Cleveland. He was with the whole regime. They were all sitting together. And so he was working up until the end. So shout out to Scott Perry, man. Thanks for your services.
And there's some interesting headlines when you just Google his name.
Mm-hmm.
One written by Bleacher Report not too long ago. Let's see. This is on May 21st, 2023. I don't know if the Kings have filled the position, but the headline is Scott Perry could emerge as candidate for Kings front office job.
That's right. That was someone I was referring to, yeah.
And dropped May 7th. Scott Perry, headline for the Washington Post, Knicks GM Scott Perry is Wizards' ideal fit, hiding in plain sight. So there's another one.
Well, which GM just stepped down? Clippers GM just stepped down.
That's right.
And, well, he went to the Wizards.
Yep.
Clippers GM took the Wizards job.
Yeah.
So That'll be interesting. Let me just update my my title here. So with everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Tuesday, off-season edition. But as I open the show out, what I say, it's never a dull moment in Knicks fan TV land. There's always something to talk about and dissect. And tonight we say goodbye to Scott Perry. Scott Perry leaving the Knicks. Okay? If you guys want to call in on the Perry topic, call us up, man, 657-383-1509. Or you can hit us up on the Knicks Fan TV Discord. What do you think? What is the legacy of Ninja P? He's out of here over the summer. He said, too many chefs in this CAA kitchen. I got to go back and start my own. See where he goes, man. Stand up guy, man. I like Perry. Great guy. Okay. Back to so we're talking about Eastern Conference Finals, right?
Yep.
Boston, Miami. Boston after just a complete miracle game six, because they were doing their best and Reggie was right there, right in front of Reggie. They were choking in Miami in game six. Derek White saves them after an Al Horford boneheaded foul on Jimmy Butler, 3-point attempt. White saves him with a miraculous rebound, pushes it to seven. They go into seven. The first play of the game, Jason Tatum with a badly sprained ankle. But again, give credit to Miami, man. They were tough. They were resilient. A lot of people questioned how they would recover from that game six loss mentally. But I didn't really do that, Al, because if it's one thing that this series showed us, it's that you just don't know how it's going to go. Every game is different. And Spoelstra said this after game six. He was like, they were like, what's your mood going into this? He's like, bro, we're fine. We're not stressing. Every game is different. You can't carry. There's nothing that you can carry over from one game to the next. And that's what Miami showed in this game. They ended up routing the Celtics in this game.
On their own home court.
On their own home court. Who would have thunk it? Who would have thunk it? Just got outstanding play. Obviously, Butler did the damn thing. Caleb Martin, to me, was MVP of these Eastern Conference Finals.
Oh, for sure.
Talk about a guy who he's not even a free agent this offseason, but after next offseason, a guy who's making $6 million a year, he's going to be in the high 20s. He's going to be in the 20s for sure if he can repeat this next year, because to me, he was the Eastern Conference Finals MVP. He was outstanding. Lightning, I mean, he was efficient from the field, over 50% from the field, over 40% from three, defensively locked in. I mean, they got performances. Gabe Vincent came back, gave him an effort. Struce, they had Haywood Highsmith. Who's Haywood Highsmith? Coming off of the bench, contributing for them. And so they just got contributions all the way around. And for Boston, as I said, with Brogdon being a decoy, shell of himself, and then Tatum going down, they really had nothing else. Because when Jaylen Brown needed to step up for them, he was a walking turnover. He was a walking, we don't need that. That's what I kept saying when I watched this. Felt like I was watching Julius. You know, you're watching a player with incredible talent, incredible potential, that just can't get out of their own way. We don't need that, is what I'm saying to the screen the entire time. I'm watching Jaylen Brown take terrible three-point shots, dribbling into traffic, turning the ball over. And he was just god-awful, man. God-awful. And so this had Knicks fans in the Twitter sphere backtracking. We don't need Jaylen Brown. we don't want that. Buyer beware. Because he's going to be eligible for the Supermax next year.
Yep.
And so Boston has some decisions to make. Very interesting, man. What was your takes from this game, the series, and Brown?
For this series, I mean, to your point, you hit it. I had no idea how it would go because, look, you saw the Celtics win three in a row. Winning four in a row is very tough, though.
Yeah.
Very tough. Winning four in a row. But didn't know how this series would end. But when you just watch Miami, not only the series, but the entire playoff run, at this point, you can't even knock them, like that they wouldn't even show up for a game seven. This is the same team that took out the Bucks. This is the same team that took out a hard fought series against the Knicks. All right,
yeah.
And now they won games in Boston. Like they won the first two in Boston.
Right.
So this team is unafraid. They're playing with house money too. Like what do they got to lose? What do they have to lose? And that's the mentality they went into this game with. Like, look, guys, we're going to go in here, do the damn thing. We got nothing to lose. If we lose, we made a miraculous run as an eighth seed. If we win, we're continuing our history right now.
Yeah.
So for them, yo, you just got to give the Heat kudos for this is a tough team. It is just so different from what they were last season because they didn't have a Caleb Martin playing this Mountain Edge.
Yeah.
He didn't have Gabe Vincent doing all this. Duncan Robinson was on the outside looking in. And now he's back in here giving
now
you
he's back. Minutes. Remember when he got benched? He got benched for Strus last year.
Man, this whole team is just different and from what they were last year. I mean, look, you don't even have Tyler Hero playing basketball right now. Your top scorer, 20-point-per-game scorer, is not there, but yet it's okay. And when I look at the Miami Heat, I'm like, this has got to give confidence to you if you're any other fan base for how you're building a team and just creating a culture, building from within, because if you see that you have good quality role players and you have a good head coach who understands, look, Charles Barkley gave credit to Spo last night. He's like, it's not for Butler and Bam they really giving Spo credit for. Those guys are going to show up. But whatever Spo has done to empower Martin, Vincent, Strus, I mean, I'm watching Cody Martin getting like doing curls, attacking, and just going straight ISO. And I'm like, for a guy who was not on a roster, we're talking about J. Cole giving a call to Caron Butler to give this guy a chance, and he's just on this roster now. To allow this guy throughout your entire playoff series to have that much leeway to shoot, that's some confidence from your head coach.
Yeah. Hey, they brought Kyle Lowry back from the dead, and Kyle Lowry's out here shaking and baking.
Yeah, man.
He's out here saucing dudes up. He's cooking.
I mean, even Highsmith, right? Highsmith is even 9 minutes for a guy like Highsmith in a game seven. That's crazy to think about from Spo and from a head coach for the position they're in. So for them, I'm looking at it like, you know, if you really do your due diligence and look for players, whether they're drafted, whether you draft them or you don't, you can create a competitive team out here.
Yeah.
And they're breaking barriers for the height, right? Like you're thinking you need some 7-foot giants. They're tallest guys, Bam at 6'10".
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, you had Robert. You had Giannis and Brooke, no problem. You had Mitch, Isaiah Hartenstein, no problem. You had Robert Williams, Al Horford, no problem. So, the Heat are really, really being, once again, a trendsetter. You know, you think about it. When Miami got the Heatles, it was really the beginning of player empowerment, right? Where players understood their contracts. You had Bosch, Wade, LeBron all know they're going to sign the same deal and the same year, team up on some team. They did that. And Heat were like, oh, man, if we can get three stars like this, we can compete. And then everyone tried to do the same thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone tried to figure out how do you get these guys, whether it's trading and whatnot, and try to create your own big three. Heat started that. Now the Heat are doing it again. They're now being trendsetters saying, look, we don't need to go out and trade for three superstars. We got our guy, Jimmy Butler. We drafted Bam. We drafted Tyler Hero, even though he's not playing. He still got them there.
Yeah.
And everybody else, we just made some smart roster moves. And if you're a front office right now, you're watching the Heat, you're like, look at that. You don't even have to compete for a top six spot. If you got a team that can compete, get through the play-in, anything can happen.
Yeah.
Anything.
Well, I agree. I just like having made the Eastern Conference Finals last year, could we really say they were your typical eighth seed playing team? Like this isn't, you know, the Wizards scrapping in to make it or the Hawks even. You know, this is a team that, as we say, is well coached. They were the number one seed in the East last year. They did make it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
They did have one of the best three-point shooting teams last year. Plus, the coach It's like even the Lakers making it through the play. Like, is that really an eighth seed when you look at the guys that were spearheading the whole process? Not to take anything away from Miami, because they even lost the first play-in game. They were losing the second play-in game to the Bulls late in that game, had to come back and win. They still beat the Bucks, who were number one. They still beat the Celtics, who were number two, and beat a juggernaut Knicks team, who was number five. So, but I'm just saying, you know, I think you're right, though. I think you're right. Like, is this, if you look at the way, you know, Miami has come together, and even Denver they've come together in terms of building development. Miami with seven undrafted guys getting meaningful minutes here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their star player, Jimmy Butler, was a second-round pick. Bam was a late lottery pick. Or was he seven? Was he seven? I either see 7 or 14 for Bam. What number was Bam? See, I either see 7 or 14. Just look that up real quick.
Yeah, I'm looking up right now.
Right.
See, Bam was drafted.
It was 11.
14.
14.
Bam was drafted 14.
There we go.
2017.
There we go. There we go. So he was right there. He's last pick in the lottery.
And he's listed as 6'9", not even 6'10". That's your center.
Right. There you go. You know, Denver, same way. The Joker, second round pick. Jamal Murray. He's between 7 and 14. He's late lottery.
He was the Knicks lottery pick.
Right.
He was 16. I think he was 14 or 16.
Late. You know, they took a risk. They took a risk on Porter Jr. It's paying off. They acquire Gordon. They get Brown. They get these guys. You know, is that
number seven?
He was seven.
Jamal Murray was seven.
He was seven. So it's like, I think, you know, what Fred Katz said when he came on this show, thought he was spot on. It's when you look at the impacts of this new CBA and teams trying to avoid the second apron, what the Warriors are now facing, what the Clippers are now facing, being in luxury tax hell, the Warriors could have a cap and a salary and a tax hit of $500 million next year. No wonder Bob Myers is like, yeah, I'm out of here. I'm gonna take this vacation real quick. You bring in somebody else to figure this out, because our window's over with, and I'll go find somewhere else where I can be the next Danny
right.
H with no stress. But the way this is building up, the playing field seems to be leveling a little bit.
Mm.
Because you're no longer going to – because, yes, you can get your big threes, but it's going to cost you a lot. It's going to cost you a lot to put
that
together. Yeah.
Your depth, it will cost your depth. And I think a good concept to figure out how that will work, if you did, let's say, do a big three, you would look like what the Nets were, right? You have KD, Kyrie, Harden, and then it's like, all right, maybe you get a Bruce Brown out of everybody.
Yeah.
Maybe. But even that team, like, didn't help them didn't get further than the second round. So that's what I would expect from the new CBA. I mean, I was listening to Bill Simmons and Ryan Russillo talk about it, and the way that they describe the CBA is that you're going to have your two guys, and you better make sure who your two guys are. And when you walk in, because everybody else, it's like they made the reference of like of Hollywood, where like you can get your two big names, right? You get your two big names, and then it's like actors you never heard of. And it's like, is this going to help us? So I think for the Knicks right now, and you look at those contracts, pretty good, man. Like, you know, and it's pretty good right now, but you know Jalen's going to want to get paid at some point. And so if you're the Knicks this offseason, you look at the bargain that he's on, the new CBA coming. The question is, do you make that change? Do you make a trade right now to go add somebody to get them on the books? Because it'll just be that much harder to trade assets. I mean, to think about it, if you go into the second apron, you can't trade draft picks 7 years out.
Can't trade draft picks 7 years out. You can't use cash in trade deals. Yeah.
That's tough.
That is tough.
That's tough, man. And for a big market like New York that was known at one point, like, James will just spend cash, like, no, tomorrow.
Yeah.
It impacts. But we'll see how this all plays out, man. And just to touch back on the Miami Heat thing, like, mm-hmm. yes, they were not, you could say they're not your typical AC, but I want you to hear the rosters that were getting, I want you to hear the guys who are getting the most minutes in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Last year you had Jimmy Butler getting mm-hmm. 37 minutes per game in the playoffs. Bam with 34, Kyle Lowry with 29.5, mm-hmm. Max Strus with 29, PJ Tucker, not on the team anymore, with 28, mm. Tyler Hero, 25.4, Victor Oladipo, mm-hmm. also 24.5, Gabe Vincent getting you 23.5 minutes, Caleb Martin only getting 12 minutes, Duncan Robinson getting 12 minutes. So, and that was... Duncan Robinson only played 13 games. Caleb Martin only played 17 out of the 18 games. Mm-hmm. So that should give you – that's that year. This year, you're talking about Jimmy Butler playing 39 minutes, Bam playing 35, Gabe Vincent playing 31, Caleb Martin playing 30, Max Strus playing 29, Kyle Lowry playing 25. You know, haven't seen Oladipo – outside of the first two games, no Tyler Hero. And so your next guys are Kevin Love with 18 and Duncan Robinson with 18. Those have been your guys. Those have been your guys. It's a much different team that's getting the majority of minutes. So while they're not your – I don't think – while they're not your typical AC because of the resume from last year, I still am looking at this team saying – a lot of the guys that they're doing having the success with is like guys I would not expect from. So that's why it's still a little different for me to be like, they're the same. That's all I have to add on that.
Yeah. I mean, it's fair, but I think one thing that we'll see is you'll see more in terms of team building, right? I think you'll see more investment in player development. You're going to see more investment in analytics. And you're going to have more Brock Aller types in the front office. You're going to need that as teams try to navigate these new salary cap rules, try to find bargains in the margins, as the Knicks have been able to do. I think you're going to see more of that. And so for the Knicks, yes, they're going to have to strike prior to the eventual Jalen Brunson max contract. Doesn't mean you go get desperate and go get somebody for the sake of getting them, you're going to have to be aggressive. You know, you're going to have to be aggressive to go get that guy and go get your guys and bring complementary pieces in here. Because despite the fact that Miami has all these undrafted guys, this, that, and the third, they're complementary pieces. You put nothing but shooters out there with Butler and Jimmy. You have, even in with a Highsmith, you have kind of that jack-of-all-trades guy, a lengthy wing, you know, versatile, hustle player. You have smart players. The Heat, I think they were top five in turnovers in this postseason. They take care of the ball. They don't make mistakes. They had the veteran leadership with Lowry, Love, so on and so forth. So it starts there. You know, you need your quality vets. You need your leaders, but you need fundamentally sound players, man. That can make good decisions for you, and you know that along with the coaching, I think that's what's gotten Miami to this point. Plus the fact that you know when everybody's counting them out, they believed. They believed in themselves, man. So, you know that's one thing you can take from them making it to the finals. Will they win? We'll see. You know,
you can't count them out, but you'll get their opponent and you're like, the Nuggets, man, the Nuggets were pretty convincing, man. Like they're talented. They're convincing. You're talking about a two-time MVP on that side with Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray being able to drop the amount of points that he can in the fourth quarter. I'm interested to see how that works out, especially between Bam and Jokic. That is a height difference.
Yeah.
And this isn't any other center that Bam has had to face. Okay, like against the Bucks, Giannis missed some games. It's Brooke Lopez, okay. Mitchell Robinson, Isaiah Hartenstein, okay. You talk about Robert Williams, Al Horford. All right, we're talking about Jokic now.
Yeah,
this is different. I'm very curious to see how that works. But the big question, who's going to play the underdog card to the max this series? Because both these teams have been like, No one's respecting
us. No one respects
us.
Who's the underdog?
Who's we're no, the sports books aren't giving us our due.
Yeah.
The journalists aren't giving us our due. Who's going to – it's like
yeah.
you both can't play this card now. So who's the favorite?
You know, I think it's going to be interesting how Denver plays against this Miami zone. This isn't the Celtics. The Celtics offense in a lot of this series looks like the Knicks. No ball movement, no player movement, my turn, your turn, chuck type of basketball.
A lot more threes, though.
A lot more threes. And part of the reason is that what I don't like about the Celtics is that Brown and Tatum are not aggressive enough in trying to get to the basket. They do not draw contact worth a damn. And so when the three ball is now falling, they become so easy to defend. At least with the Knicks, you have Brunson being able to get to the basket at will and try to get you some sort of offense there. But with the Celtics, if Tatum and Brown aren't driving, Tatum out with the ankle, he's out. Forget about him. And then Brown's just chucking away from three 40-footers. They had no chance. They don't have – see, the thing with the Celtics is that – the thing with the Celtics is, like, their point guard problem was also part of what – a solution that got them to the finals last year. Like, when they got rid of Kemba, it was because they wanted to put the ball in Tatum's hands more to make him a playmaker. That helped them get to the finals. But then you also saw in certain spurts, especially in the finals – when they needed more playmaking, and you saw that this year as well. So they're in a tricky spot where they don't necessarily want a high usage point guard or high usage guard next to take the ball out of Tatum's hands, but at the same time, they kind of need that.
It's weird, man.
Yeah.
They're so weird, and this is as someone who loves watching the NBA, Tatum and Brown are really good talents. But as you pointed out, and I saw this when I went to both those Knicks games out here, man, especially after we got Josh Hart. Once Josh Hart was guarding Tatum, he had no intention of driving to the basket. You just saw that. And every time I was just like, yo, this guy's like 6'9", 6'10". Like, you're going against a 6'5 guy in Josh Hart. I know Josh Hart's physical, but you literally can get anywhere you want if you wanted to shoot. And he just didn't because – I don't see Tatum as that guy who really is looking to be that physical of a player to attack in that mode. Like, he's very flashy. He's got the dribble package. He can shoot step-back threes, all that cool stuff. But when you need him most to say, hey, man, I need you to go downhill. I need you to cut. I need you to be aggressive. It's like there are games where he can do that. But then he just removes himself. Same thing with Jaylen Brown. I mean, Jaylen Brown was doing step-back threes yesterday. I was like,
yeah,
is that really
you're
what
bugging
right
out.
Now?
You're bugging
it's
out.
It's like so out of rhythm what the team needs. And,
yeah.
And this is where I'm like, I understand the frustration with Marcus Smart, like if you're a Celtics fan, but also like he's the only guy that has the onions to go out there and be like, no one's going to do this. Let me do this.
Yeah. But realistically for them, they need somebody that can put him on the bench, bring him off the bench. I think that they need an upgrade there. I don't think they should get, you know, everybody's going to split up Tatum and Brown, split up Tatum and Brown. You know, even the dialogue about Mazzulla when they were down 3-0. Oh, he's overmatched. Get him out of here. You know, he doesn't know what he's doing.
That was crazy.
When do we allow for teams to build and get through their lumps? Maybe this is just a time for Tatum and Brown to be learning through these mistakes. Yeah, they got to the finals and they didn't get it done. Yeah, they lost in Game 7 after going down 3-0 to an 8 seed. Well, maybe this is part of the process, even for Mazzulla. Maybe this is part of the process. You know, I don't know. You got two all-star players there. Now this is Brad Stevens' biggest job is how to keep them in contention and make them better, get them over the hump, because it was the same issues that plagued them last year. It's almost the same issues that plagued them this year. The ball movement stops. The offense grinds to a halt. And the depth got impacted. Now, no one saw the Brogdon injury coming. But once the injury did come, you look down that bench, Blake Griffin wasn't going to help him. Peyton Pritchard, he's not going to help him. Doogie Howser, Howser's all right, but you need somebody to set him up. Like, that bench was looking weak. And now you're telling me you need Al Horford and Marcus Smart to help save the day. They were in trouble, man.
Doogie Howser.
Yeah. Yeah. They were in trouble, man.
Man, that team, it's interesting watching that team and then think about the Knicks. You know, it's just, you need somebody, you need these guys just to be locked in, man. I think at the end of the day, when you watch these teams and you think about why the Knicks fell short, it's discipline. It just comes down to discipline. When I look at Miami and I'm like, the Celtics had no discipline. Their defense, what they prided in last year with Ime Udoka, absent this year. No offensive creativity. You saw that with Joe Mazzulla this year. Shoot a lot of threes, not going to work. Defense slipped. And when I look at that, I'm like, for the Knicks, we don't have offensive creativity, and the defense can wane in and out at times, especially when you have guys like, I don't put it on Brunson because I'm not looking for Brunson to be a great defender. But when you have Brunson, you have Randall, you know, RJ throughout most of the regular season was during the postseason, he was good. Your best perimeter defender is Grimes. Most of your best defenders are on the bench, and including Mitch, who's your starting center, but he can only do so much when he has to help consistently.
Yeah.
You see that you need solid defense, right? But then you also need offensive creativity. You cannot just rely on one single way to score. And if there's anything that the Knicks should learn from this series, that I look at Miami, and when you don't have a powerful roster, like you don't have, you know, Miami was the better team. But when you look at the two rosters on paper, the talent was definitely on Boston, right? You all just look at it like you have Malcolm Brogdon, you have Derek White, you have Tatum, you have Brown, you know, solid center Robert Williams, Marcus Smart was a defensive player last year. Mm-hmm. On paper, all those names should have theoretically beaten out Miami. But what Miami has shown you is that if you're disciplined, you buy into what your coach is trying to show you, and if you have a coach who is creative enough to go back and forth with defensively from zone to man coverage, offense, you're looking – you see how Spo is just able to figure out how to get his guys into the right position. It's like, yo, Jimmy likes to attack from the right side of the court. Let's figure out ways to get him to the right side of the court to attack. For when the Knicks were facing the Heat, you saw when Kyle Lowry came out there, they kept doing that high pick and roll with Bam, and Bam had an easy lane to go get a dunk every single time.
Yeah.
It's stuff like that where you
they were cooking Horford all day in the pick and roll.
Yeah, they
were cooking Horford all day.
But when you see that, and if you're the Knicks, you're like, add a little bit of offensive creativity to get other guys involved. Because we just had to rely on Brunson and Randall for most of the time. If that didn't work, where were the other shots coming from? So
yeah,
if I'm looking at Miami and I'm the Knicks, I'm like, yo, we need some offensive creativity. We got to up that. We got to figure out defense, man. We got to be versatile on defense. Because look, the zone beat the Celtics.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Zone beat the Celtics.
And now I'm interested to see how they play it with the Nuggets. Another good three-point shooting team, but that's not all they're about. They got 2 point guards out there in their starting five. They can play inside. They can play outside. Going to be very, very interesting to see how they play that zone, because there will be holes. And if there are holes to exploit, it's nobody better than the Joker to exploit that. How will they time the double teams to take the ball out of his hand? Because you know they're going to have to send it. You can't play him. You can't just play Bam on him one-on-one. He's going to get into foul trouble. You know, see mm-hmm. what Cody Zeller's made of.
Cody Zeller. Another guy getting minutes.
You know, who's checking Jamal Murray? I mean, it's going to be fascinating. It's going to be very fascinating, because all they need is a couple stops. And then on the other end, you got Strus, you got Vincent. The way Caleb Martin is playing right now, very, very interesting. But at the same time, you know, the Nuggets have better wing defense. They got Bruce Brown out there. You have Jeff Green out there. You have, Aaron Gordon. Not going to be able to exploit Gordon like how you got Horford, like how they was abusing Horford out there.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. But nevertheless, what the Heat is showing you is that you can't count them out, man. So let's see how it goes. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for your boys, CP and Alex on the ones and twos, Knicks Weekly episode 59. News of the day, Scott Perry's tenure with the Knicks is over, man. What do you guys think? Call us up 657-383-1509 or hit us up on the Knicks Fan TV Discord. We are reacting to the Knicks and Heat. I mean, the Celtics and Heat, Eastern Conference Finals finale, in which the Heat have moved on after a almost choking a 3-0 series lead. They are moving on, going into Mile High City in Denver on Thursday. Let us know your thoughts on that. And we're going to get into our top 10 Knicks moments of the season, numbers 10 through 6. Guys, remember that this show is presented by Manscaped, man. Go to manscaped.com. Use promo code KFTV for 20% off plus free shipping. Make sure you go check out that Lawnmower 4.0, as well as many other products for today's man, man. Manscaped is the number one men's grooming tool below the waist. As I said, in addition to the Lawnmower 4.0, what you're going to need. It's summertime. It's starting to heat up out there. Make sure you want to hit trim those hedges. You know, we're going Van Gundy style. No, we're going Jordan. We was on the Van Gundy for a little bit. We're going to Jordan mode. If you know, you know. No testimonials. We're going Jordan with these, and then you can clean it up. They have lotion, body wash, shampoo, conditioner, deodorant, ball deodorant, foot deodorant. They got everything for you. So there's no excuse today, fellas. Don't be out there lacking. Don't be going on those dates, you know, halfway. You got to go all the way, man. And that is with Lawnmower 4.0 and other great Manscaped products, including try that new beard hedger as well, man. Manscaped.com, promo code KFTV for 20% off plus. Okay, to the Discord we go. Diallo Deo on the Discord. Go ahead now, mute your mic. Diallo, are you there? He unmuted his mic. Diallo, you got to check your mic input on the Discord. Because I don't got no levels from you, buddy. We tried this the last time. Go into your settings on the Discord and check your microphone. We're going to put you on mute. And just hit us up in the chat when you figure it out. Omar, go ahead. You're up next. Omar, let's go.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's been a minute.
How you feel, man?
Good, good. Nice to hear from you guys, man.
Yeah,
I didn't get a chance to, I'd call in after the loss. I was a little tight, but nonetheless, man, thank you guys for the entire year. Great show all around. With that being said, though, watching these playoffs, it's just clear, like, the recipe for winning in the NBA, really a little less than a decade, these past, like, 7-8 years, it's shooting. I mean, look at the Milwaukee team, right, that won the chip a few years back.
True.
The guys that were killing it was Connaughton, Grayson Allen, guys like that. Yeah, they got Giannis. They got the superstar. But the guys that were just hitting those dagger threes were those role player type of pieces. And it's the same thing that the Heat are doing. I mean, Jimmy Butler, outside of the Milwaukee, a couple games in the Milwaukee series, he hasn't gone like nut. He's done his thing. He's been the star that he's supposed to be. But he hasn't gone off to a point where it's just overwhelming. In crunch time, he'll do his thing, but he's not, like, taking over games. I mean, game six, he was playing horrible up until the last couple of minutes, but it was really the other guys that were keeping him in that game. So this idea that, like, if we just get a superstar, we just pick this person, and we get another star next to Brunson, and, like, they're going to be able to take over. No, sometimes superstars go cold. That could be Tatum. That could be Brown, Butler at times. You need guys around them to pick it up, and that comes from experience. Going to the Knicks, like, we have shooters. We lost in the playoffs not because we were out-talented. I said this before. Like, even now, even with the Heat going to the finals, I still think we could have beat the Heat, man. If we just hit our threes, we could have beat them. This isn't the Heat team that had, like, LeBron and Wade and Bosh, where I'm looking at it, I'm like, yeah, they just got more talent. Like, we can't stack up against them. We could have easily beat the Heat. It's just that we had guys on our team that didn't have the experience, and the only way to get experience is to experience the playoffs. So, I just feel like, myself included, like, I'm guilty of this. We're so quick to kind of, like, blow up the ship. We just have to ride it out. The Warriors, I remember there was a stretch pre-2016, the first chip that they won, where they were getting bounced in the second round for, like, 3 years straight. They were always losing to, like, the Clippers or something. Mm-hmm. That same court, that Draymond Green, I don't know if you guys remember.
Yeah.
That was back in, like, right after college or something. But it was, like, Draymond Green, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, they were always losing to, like, the Clippers or, like, a team like that in, like, the second round. But then once they were together for a couple of years, they kept the core intact. They started winning chips because they got the experience. They knew how to handle it. So I'll end on this. Like, that Miami series, it really wasn't a talent difference. They just had players. They had veteran players on that team that kind of been there, done that, and they knew how to handle certain situations. So, honestly, looking at this offseason, like, I was looking at the free agents that are available. what are we going to do, man? Like, what we think? Bringing Seth Curry in here is going to change something. He's a good player. He's a good shooter. But whoever we bring in, like, that's going to take minutes off of somebody else. Probably Grimes, probably, like, IQ, depending on who you bring in. Mm-hmm. So there's really not this major move that we can make that's really going to move the needle. Overall, this whole regime, speaking of Scott Perry and the whole regime in general with Leon Rose and Thibodeau, mm-hmm. it's been a success, man. Like, honestly, this is the first time I can honestly say the Knicks, like, they're in such a good position mm-hmm. in all cylinders. They got assets. They got draft assets, young players. They're a competitive team that legitimately has a chance to take the next step. We can possibly be in the Eastern Conference Finals next year. I mean, Philly's going to take a step back. Harden's not re-signing there. I know they got Nick Nurse, but they don't really scare me. Boston clearly isn't as scary as we thought they were. So this is the best the Knicks have been in a while. Even that Knicks take team when they were doing their thing mm-hmm. in 2012, 2013, that was a good team, but we knew there was a shelf life to that team. There was no future. That was a very, very short window where it's like you either win now and there was no future in sight. So yep. overall, as a Knicks fan, it's the best I've been as a Knicks fan in my entire life. I'm 30, so hopefully I'm looking forward to next year. I liked your idea before I hang up about Alec Burks. I know we kind of laugh at it, but I think he'd be a good piece. He's somebody to stick on the bench.
Yeah.
He can create his own offense. See, we did him dirty, man. We had him out there running point. That's not his natural position. No. He did the best he could. We have him on the bench. He's somebody that everybody's familiar with, a likable personality. He could create his own shot. It's not like a life-changing thing, but it'll be a good fit. So thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate the call, man. Appreciate the call. That's why I go to Omar, man. He's always a reasonable. Rate that call in the chat, man. One being trash, five being facts. Don't let me be biased in this. Don't let me sway your vote. I'll let the people in the chat decide that. Shout out to Omar, man.
He said Burks already won you over. You're like, all right, this is a good call. This is a good call. Oh, my God. Five star for me. Five star.
Voice
five stars
of reason. Okay? Now, is Burks going to, change the franchise's fortunes? No, but
yes.
it's part of adding complementary pieces here.
Ron from Baltimore calls him MJ Burks.
Yeah. Well,
so who knows, man?
Yeah, shout out to Ron. Shout out to Ron. Well, the other side of the coin is, like, I don't think, like, we're not just going to experience our way to being a contender. You still need things to break the right way for you. Number one, you need complementary pieces. Number one, you need a good shooting team, effective field goal percentage, people. If you can't shoot, you're not going to win. It don't matter if you think you're the better team, the not better team. If you can't shoot, you can't win. Even in these last two games with Boston, number one three-point shooting team in the league, even in the Game 6 miracle win that Derek White saved them, they shot 20% from three.
First time they ever won this season, shooting
abysmal.
Shooting the worst.
Of the worst. In Game 7, they shot 21% from three, 9 of 42 from downtown. You can't shoot, you can't win. And it's just simple. You're playing better defenses in the playoffs. Guys are playing harder. They're tightening up. The court shrinks. You got to be able to knock down a shot. And against that Miami defense, they speed you up. They force you into bad decisions. And they want you to take those tough shots. So give credit. A lot of Knicks fans don't want to give this team a lot of credit, but you got to give them a lot of credit. These guys play a good brand of defense. And not only that, they were shooting very well overall. And, watching these guys on the Heat, especially Duncan Robinson this year, because prior to this, a lot of times he was a very stationary shooter. He's running off of movement, but like in this series against the Celtics, I think Duncan Robinson may have hit more field goals at the rim than threes. That's just me watching. I got to look at the numbers. But I say that to say you had a lot of guys on this Heat team that were putting the ball on the floor, from Robinson to Strus to Martin. So they weren't just standing around waiting for catch and shoot opportunities. They were attacking. They were aggressive. So it just showed their versatility is what I'm trying to say, that I didn't see coming. I really didn't see that coming. they had a lot of guys that were able to put the ball on the floor. And so that's why their offense was so hard to check, because they were in constant motion. They were constantly moving and constantly moving the ball. It's a good offense. Played some good offense out there, man. They earned it.
Yeah, it's a good offense. Everyone's moving around, just figuring things out. To Duncan Robinson, I feel the same way, man. Duncan Robinson, well, let's see. Do I have it right here? I have it right here.
Yeah.
Here we go. Duncan Robinson scoring less than 5 feet. He has taken 22 field goal attempts less than 5 feet, so shooting around the room. Mm-hmm. How many of those do you think he's finished?
75%.
81%.
I was going to say 80.
He was finishing 81.8%. He is 18 out of 22 when driving and finishing around the rim.
I'm telling you, man, from what I saw.
Saw Duncan Robinson do that a few years ago. Now
never seen him do it.
If I remember correctly, I think he even set somebody up with a lob. I was like, who is this guy?
Yeah. He was moving and grooving out there, man. So, yeah, well, it's going to be interesting to see, man. Thursday night, when they go to Mile High, we'll see what this Miami Heat team can do. But as they showed, can't count them out, man. Cannot count them out. In other news, once again, we are talking about the soon-to-be departure of Scott Perry, man. Scott Perry and the Knicks will be parting ways after his contract expires this summer, as first reported by Steve Popper of Newsday. Our initial reaction here, not surprised. You know, not surprised. Once Leon Rose came here 3 years ago, this was his team. This was going to be him building his own staff. He brought in his guys, Brock Aller, Zanin, Walt Perrin. He brought in Worldwide West. He brought in Gerson Rostas last year, who was negotiating the Donovan Mitchell trade. So it really seemed like it was a lot of chefs in the kitchen. Didn't seem like Scott Perry's voice was going to be needed, but it seemed like he was here kind of as part of that transition team, keep the house in order while Leon Rose and his staff got their feet wet. And so seems like, you know, this is an amicable departure. Maybe he's going for another job. Clippers job might be open. We'll see if Steve Ballmer opens up the wallet. Maybe he pays Scott Perry to come in there and untie some of those knots that they have when they're facing with cap hell coming up with the new CBA looming. We'll see where Scott Perry goes. We talked about his draft history. He drafted RJ, drafted Mitch. Kevin Knox was a huge mistake. We'll move on. We'll blame David Fizdale for that because Perry's a good guy. We'll put that on Fizdale. That Mikal Bridges with the pick. It was a 7th pick or 9th pick that year. The New York Knicks select Mikal Bridges. It was so easy, man. But anyway. Traded Marcus Morris for a pick that eventually became Emmanuel Quickly. Traded Kristaps was part of the organization's trade of Kristaps for Porzingis.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a win? Was it a loss? It was you know. Well, we got Grimes out of that deal, right?
Yeah, I believe
was that pick
so,
that
yeah.
pick that the first the unprotected pick that was 2021. Did that turn out to be Grimes? Let's check that one out. We're still waiting to see what the Dallas protected pick turns into. As you know, Dallas tanked their way into keeping that pick, and the league did nothing this year. So we'll have to see what happens either next year or the years after that to see what that pick turns into. But I think the bottom line with Perry, they left some things out there, left some opportunities out there, but they didn't mess it up completely. And he was part of this organization's push towards front office stability and solid decision making. So we salute him in that regard. Was that Grimes?
That was Nick. I believe that was our pick that we just traded back.
We just traded back. Okay.
We just traded back.
Okay. All right, let's, before we touch on Myers, let's get to the phones. Area code 347-347, what's your name? Where are you calling in from?
This is Books from Queens. What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Books from Queens in the building. Book, what's good?
So I wanted to go straight to the Scott Perry thing.
Okay.
But my man Omar said something that I can't let go. I can't wait for Battle of the Fans.
Mm.
He said, we have shooting. We do not have shooting. And
is that what he said? I don't think he said that, though. Is that what he said?
He said we have shooting.
He said we need a shooting.
He said we need a shooting because he said it wasn't a talent issue. It was a talent issue, but not because the Miami Heat have more good players than us. And see, you dropped the jewel when you said the complementary pieces. And that's the same struggle that Boston has, and it's the same reason that Miami is so good. And this is the great news about where the Knicks are.
Mm-hmm.
In order for shooting to work, you need gravity. Like, you need the two things you need are gravity and a person who can attack mismatches so that when they switch to pick and roll, they get compromised. We have that because we have rim, we have a lot of rim attackers, and we have a paint specialist in the form of Brunson who shoots a high percentage despite his height and everything else. So now, yes, we need to fill out the roster with shooters. And that kind of leads me to some degree to where Scott Perry left us. I don't look like I think his miss is more important than his hit in that the Kevin Knox draft pick was all-time terrible, not just because of Kevin Knox, but because of so many ways you could have gone to get a better draft pick, and he missed all of them.
We still don't have a 3-and-D wing. Go ahead. I digress.
Let it out. It's a safe place, man. It's a safe place, you know? Yeah. Get it out. So going forward, when he leaves is more important than the fact that he left. There were so many precise down to the decimal point deals that this Knicks front office made in terms of moving draft picks around. And now, for the first time basically ever, we are true talent buyers. And this is a very, very important period for our front office. So I'm really curious to see who the actual brain trust is going forward because we have so many draft picks. We've raised the value of our young players. You know, I've been advocating that for years. Don't trade these guys too early. Get their value up. Now we have a bunch of decent guys, well-regarded, and a bunch of draft picks, and we got to get ready for these swings when the opportunity arises and Scott Perry is gone. I'm curious if you guys think, is it a good thing or a bad thing that he's gone at this crucial juncture?
Yeah. Appreciate the call, man. Appreciate the call, Book. Yeah. No, I don't see it as a bad thing. This was a likely move. I thought we saw this coming when they first brought Leon Rose here. It was hard to see a future with Scott Perry here, especially with a new regime coming in here. It's hard to even know what his role was once Leon Rose and those guys got here, right? Because from what we know, the draft has now been Walt Perrin's specialty.
Mm-hmm.
And from what we've seen after the Knox draft and into these future drafts is they've done pretty well. They've done pretty well in finding value with these late picks. They've been able to maneuver, move down, get the guys that they want. They got Rokas draft and stash. Grimes has been a good player, quickly finished second in sixth man of the year. The Obi thing, flop, you know, with the Randall situation, I think it was just one of those situations. You guys like McBride. McBride was a good pickup. Sims, one of the last picks of the draft. So it's hard to really say. And then with the trades, Gerson Rosas was the one negotiating for Donovan Mitchell. We know Brock Aller's role in terms of trying to get some of these guys on the margin. So it was really hard to say what Perry's role was once they got here. So I'm not so sure if it's a monumental loss. We'll have to see when they move forward. But so far, I don't see it.
I wouldn't say it's a monumental loss. I think to your point, we don't know how much of his control we have an understanding of what he did for the Knicks organization. I'm sure he was influential in using some of his connections for what the Knicks did. But I don't think we're losing someone like Bob Myers here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like for the Warriors, on the other hand, where you're talking about a guy who's brought you 4 championships. So we're talking about a guy who brought stability, and now it's the Knicks going to that next phase. So done a good job. I don't think it's something to lose sleep over if you're a Knicks fan, but give him his respect for what he's done for this Knicks organization. But I think the Knicks will be fine without him.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So speaking of Bob Myers for the Golden State Warriors was in the news today because he's leaving the Golden State Warriors, mm-hmm. man. After he was there 2011 as an assistant GM and helped build the dynasty, man. Drafted Draymond Green, hired Steve Kerr, was part of the Kevin Durant trade. 4 championships for Bob Myers. Who was he, a trailblazer for these agents turned executives? Who knows, but certainly built a model that, hey, maybe that's what Jim Dolan was looking at when he brought in Leon Rose. He's a guy mm-hmm. who had connections on the other side of the table, had connections with these players, somebody that the players can relate to, somebody that the players like, and maybe has a different vision in terms of team building. But nevertheless, Bob Myers, man, racked up quite a resume, and he's going to be moving forward, man. According to Woj, despite the Warriors offering a lucrative contract extension, he turned it down. So this seems like he's going for something bigger. Maybe he wants a stake in a team, or maybe he just wants a bigger role. Who knows? But as we said here, you know, the Warriors have their work cut out for them in terms of navigating the salary cap. Draymond's got $30 million. Draymond Green's got $30 million coming to him, I'm sure. That's not sitting too well with them. Klay Thompson is going to be looking for a new deal. They have the rookies that they brought in over the last few years that haven't panned out. The Wiseman thing was a flop. Kuminga, Moody not really turning the corner as they would have liked. So what does the future hold for the Warriors? As I said, between salary cap and luxury tax, they're looking at $500 million bill this season. So somebody's going to have to come in there and untie some knots while still trying to figure out which direction are they going in. Are they going to continue to try to build a championship contender with the chef? Do they destroy and rebuild with the chef? Very interesting to see how Golden State tries to navigate these next few years, man. Very interesting.
Yeah. I think when you look at it from Bob Myers' perspective, right, and you think, why would he leave right now? I know you jest earlier in the show saying, I don't want this to be my mess. And I think, you know, maybe that's not exactly it, but I think some truth to that is you want to go out on a good note, right? You want to go out as a champion. But the Warriors made it from they made it past the first round. They lost to the Lakers. But if you're looking at that CBA coming up, as you talked about, having to figure out all the financial gymnastics that you have to do to keep this team competitive, you know, how do you make that decision between Steph, Klay, and Draymond? Yeah, it's easy to say you keep Steph and Klay because they're your shooters, but, you know, it's still a foundation. You want to make sure you have that right balance of veterans. That's going to stay, but, you know, you got to think about how do you fill out that roster. I think that's a difficult decision all to figure out, one for him. So when you say he doesn't want to handle it, I think that's partly true, and then that's part of it. But the other thing is then having to rebuild that, because you can't just say, all right, we tear it down. Now it's like, all right, who do we draft? How do we put it all together? That's a whole other step, man. That's a lot of thought process, a lot of effort. And maybe for him, he's like, yo, let me take this time right now, relax, did a lot so far. Let's reset and let's look at the landscape. Let's see how things change out. Let's see where's another good spot for me, because maybe you go to another team, you know, that's better positioned to compete. You go in there, you know how to bring in that network that you have. You know what type of players to be on the lookout for based on a certain stage that franchise is in. And that's utilizing his strength as a GM. So for him, I think that's what he's looking at coming into this. And then for the Warriors, man, like, I think it's good to get a new voice in there to change it up, especially when you got to tear it down. Because for someone like Bob, who's been there for a long time, who probably has a close relationship with all these guys, right? I think it would be tough for him to be like, all right, who do I get rid of and how do I make that decision, right? how do I make that decision on who I keep? Because I have a relationship with all these guys. And even though it's business, it's tough, man, to be on that end and be like, look, man, I got to let you go. I got to trade you, all these things. And sometimes you need someone with a new vision, clean slate, to go in there and bring in their ideals, their vision, their game plan, and let them get to work. So I think even though for him it's, you know, he doesn't want to ruin his resume, I think it's also good for a team that's looking to go into the next step after this era of Splash Brothers, Draymond, and all those guys, that core three right there.
True indeed. Absolutely, man. Good stuff there. So Bob Myers moving on. No Knicks fans. He's not coming to the Knicks. I even saw some of that on Twitter. Now's our chance. Go get him.
Bob. It's so funny. To even like we, man, like we can't even just enjoy what we've done for this point.
We can't.
Talking about competent front offices. We just made the playoffs 2 out of 3 years. Help us get Jalen Brunson on a solid deal.
Can't make it up.
You know what I mean?
Cannot make it up. We're going to get to our top 10 Nick moments in just a second. Once again, I want to salute everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Let's get those likes up, man. We got over 1,000 people over here on the off-season edition of KFTV Live, Knicks Weekly, episode 59, CP and Alex on the ones and twos. Shout out to everybody in the chat. Shout out to our loyal franchise channel members. Salute to the Rhyme Animal, Chuck D. We see Chuck in there. Seems like Chuck, I don't know if you're back from across the pond, but welcome back. Good to see you in the Moss chat, vibing with the people. Once again, salute to our franchise channel members. I see BK Goblin in here. Rhyme Animal, Chuck D, of course. Who else we got in here? All the mods, salute. I see JJ from Brooklyn in here. Salute. Mustafa Wahad in here. Salute. Okay. If you guys are new in the chat also, man, drop a hashtag new in the chat. We'll shout you guys out. I see Andrew Chavaria, Abdul checking in from San Diego. Eric, what's good, man? Eric Beats always in here. John Talento always in here. Jamaica Queens 22, Shane Mack. Appreciate you, man. Always in here. Salute to Shane Mack. Stock Chasers in here as well, man. Salute to Stock Chasers. Let me salute the Super Chats as well. We did get some Super Chats in here. Appreciate that. Once again, salute Muhammad Mustafa Wahad for being a franchise channel member. Jay from East New York, salute. He says, what does this mean to UCP and Alex? I think he was talking about the Ninja P stuff, so I feel like we answered that. Salute to Jay. If we didn't, Jay, just let us know. Sean DaCosta, $5 Super Chat, says, with Scott Perry leaving, do you see a Celtic-like situation happening where Tibbs eventually moves into the front office and we hire a new coach? No. Wishful thinking, Al. They're just looking to move Tibbs somehow, some way. Shuffle the decks. No, it's moving into the front office where he was an absolute disaster with the Timberwolves.
Yeah, I was about to say, please. No.
No.
Come on, guys.
No.
Come on.
Don't need that. We don't need it. And Tibbs ain't doing that.
Hold on. Your GM is supposed to be a people person.
Yeah.
Manager of emotions, knows how to have that Rolodex of connections. I think it was our guy, Ian Begley, who actually discussed the Detroit connection with Scott Perry. Am I wrong with that?
Yes,
he was able to facilitate those.
Yeah.
That's what Scott Perry can do.
Yeah.
When we bring John K from The Athletic on here, right? Brzezinski, a lasting tip head. This is the guy who likes to lock himself in the office, watch crush film, not have that manage the GM.
Absolutely.
This is a good guy setting a foundation for a team. That's what he's good at. Right?
Yeah.
Let's not make him the GM.
No.
Just so we can see Johnny Bryant.
No, we don't need that. We don't need that, man. We don't need that at all. We've got to chill.
Has anyone spoken to Tibbs about the trade negotiations?
No. I don't want Tibbs negotiating any of my trades. I'm good. Shout out to Ernest Stevenson, man. Team hashtag new Ernest, salute, man. D.O. Salute D.O. Who else we got in here? We got Harry checking in from Tulum. Harry, what's good, man? I saw another hashtag going here. The Organic Nick Fanatics. The Organic Fanatics. Okay, a little play on words there. Organic. Salute. Salute, man. Black Yankee 79 says, too bad Desmond Bane from Memphis isn't available. He'd be a good 3-and-D guy for the Knicks. Yeah, a long time away from that. They'll end up paying him. you're probably better off getting John Moran at this point. But we'll see. We'll see. Who else? Super Chats. Joseph Chavez, $5 Super Chat says, Miami had injured all stars of every team in this series, all trying to play through injury. Giannis, Brunson, and Tatum, all injured by Miami. Yeah, I'm not into the injury ref conspiracy theory when it comes to the Heat, man. Injuries, you know, subjective nature referees, all comes part of sports. It's all part of playoffs, man. It's going to happen. It happens. I don't think Bam is a dirty play. I don't think Miami's a dirty team. You got to win. These teams didn't win. Miami won. That's just it. I don't believe in any of that other stuff, man. He says, well, it's facts. Okay. Well, yeah, okay. They got injured.
He's saying that the Heat purposely injured all these players?
I guess. I don't know. A lot of people are trying to talk about that. The Heat, I keep seeing that. The refs. Why do people keep harping on the refs, man? Like, this big conspiracy thing. The refs. You really think the NBA was trying to see the Miami Heat in the finals with the Nuggets?
They definitely wanted that rerun of the Celtics-Lakers.
Yeah,
man.
They want Celtics-Lakers.
Look, you knew they wanted Celtics-Lakers. As soon as that NBA commercial of champions, they have Larry Bird and Magic Johnson on there. I'm like, of course. Oh, this was – they wanted that so badly.
Of course.
So bad.
Ay, ay, ay. Bam sets a legal screen. Hit at least four of our guys. Everybody sets illegal screens in the league, man. Come on, man. We got to stop at the referee thing, man.
I will say, though, when I saw that was Tony Brother and Scott Foster.
Yeah.
I was just cracking up.
Yeah, that was a double whammy, man.
Yeah.
Double whammy. But Miami won by damn near 20. Didn't stop them, did it?
Nope. The Lakers got swept. LeBron James and the Lakers got swept by the Nuggets.
You got to perform. Boston choked. They're out there chucking threes. Jaylen Brown. Tony Brothers wasn't stopping Jaylen Brown. What'd he do? He's out there chucking threes 2 seconds into the shot clock. That's Bam's fault? That's the ref's fault? I mean, they stunk up the joint. I don't know. That's just me, man. I don't play with rules in basketball, man. Like, when you play a pickup game, Al, you play with much rules?
No.
Yeah, I mean, do you call a lot of calls? You look like a guy. You don't call fouls, no, man.
I don't call any of that. I actually don't call fouls.
I never call fouls.
This wastes time, man. I'm just trying to play the game.
It's a waste of time, man.
You know what was really funny? There was a moment while I was playing. I had a really good sidestep three to win the game, and someone's called a moving screen on the guy who set the screen for me. I was like,
ridiculous.
I'm calling this. This is my game. I won. Get out of here. We're not calling moving screens.
Ridiculous.
Hiccup.
Ridiculous, man. Can't make it up. Who else we got on the phones here? Let's go to India, man. Our guy Ashwin. It's been a long time. Let's go overseas a little bit. Let's get Ashwin in here before we get to our top 10 moments. Ashwin, how you feeling, man? Ashwin, going once. Do we have our guy Ashwin out? Do we have him? Is he with
us? I'm here.
Yo, what's up, man? How you feeling?
I'm doing good, man. How are you all guys? Okay, so basically, I wanted to bring up 3 points.
Uh-huh.
Before that, I just want to make clear, I am not complaining about our coach. It's not like I want to get him off the team.
Uh-huh.
I would very much love to see him also for the next year.
Uh-huh.
But 3 things that I can compare what he did and we did not. First one, I would say, is shutting down D-Rose completely.
Uh-huh.
Like what Kyle Lowry did, D-Rose, it's okay. He's not the same as he was 2 years ago. But one thing he can continuously do is break down the defense,
mm-hmm.
at least in the bench level, while playing with other teams' benches.
Mm-hmm.
And shutting him down completely, that option was completely gone. Because who was our vet? Julius Randle. That was the only vet that we had on our whole roster of our playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So at least for 5 to 6 minutes, until the time when Brunson could catch a breather, that time he could have done the thing, break down the defense, and at least could have done something that he always does. Second one, Mitch, being in this league for so many years, he not having any post move, the basic pivot post moves, because he's a 7-footer and he can be so good if he just learns some basic post move and like shoots about 70% of free throws. I think working on that can be an incredible change for our team. There will be so many different options because if he can make the free throws, then there will be so much option in offense and so many different ways that the scoring will open up.
Okay.
If Mitch can hit the free throws. I'm sorry about that.
Okay.
And last one is obviously Julius Randle, but we have talked enough about him. Come on.
All right, man.
We have talked enough about Julius Randle. So I'm just going to end it with one question. Mm-hmm. Who do you think is a realistic replacement of Julius Randle right now?
That's a hard one, man, and appreciate the call, man. That's a tough one. I don't know. A lot of people want Porzingis. I don't see that being the answer. You know, people say, well, he's spacing this and that and the third. Porzingis ain't tough, man. I don't think Porzingis is built for the playoffs, man. For a deep run.
They want, what is it, KP playing the four?
Yeah, I don't know. KP playing the five, I guess.
So we can lose out on our solid rim protection and rebounding?
I don't know. It's not an easy one. You want to say Karl Anthony Towns?
You
want to say that's a replacement for Julius? It's not an easy trade, ladies and gentlemen.
Cat at the four was abysmal this season. The Timberwolves were winning without Cat on the four when he was injured. So,
yeah.
No. Carl Anthony Towns, man, is like defensively, his lateral quickness is not there. So if between him and Brunson, I mean, you and Fred Katz talked about it.
Yeah.
You think about the pick and roll coverage between Cat and Brunson, that just sounds nightmarish.
They would get eaten alive.
Yeah, no thanks.
Right? We talked about it on the show about having complementary defense. That's one of your problems. Your two best players are below average defenders. You know, I mean, with Randle, he can be okay at times when he wants to be, when he's applying himself.
Mm-hmm.
Rebounding solid. He gets on the boards. That's part of what keeps this defense afloat. Is his ability to attack the rebound and the boards. That's very important. Don't want to undersell that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, people say Siakam, he's still going to be New York Bricks. I don't know. It's a tough one. I don't think KP's the answer. I don't see them having a shot at Jeremy Grant. PG-13.
If you got Grant, it would only work if you upgrade or RJ takes another step of being a solid wing.
Right.
Because that's the change. Because then you're then getting a defensive four who can space the four. But then you need somebody to take that shooting that Randle provides you in that shot creation. And either RJ steps into that role or you think about upgrading at that position.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting indeed. All right, we're going to get to our top 10 moments of the Knicks season, man. Numbers 10 through 6. And the top 10 moments, Al, are brought to you guys by Oakley, man. Shout out to our guys at Oakley, our friends at Oakley, a brand new sponsor to Knicks Fan TV, man. Super excited to announce our new sponsor, Oakley. Express your style and build a new look that's made for you. Whether you run, you hoop, you play golf, you train, or you just want to look like your favorite athlete, man, Oakley's got a pair of Oakleys that could fit your style, man. Dame Lillard, speaking of Portland, Dame Lillard recently signed a deal with Oakley, man, and the guys at Oakley sent me a pair of the Dame Dollars. Al, I actually took those out to the Finger Lakes. I was styling and profiling out there. I was looking fresh out there. Yeah, took it on a hike. I was doing the damn thing out there, yep. Well, definitely looking fresh. Oakley even offers prism lens technology. What is that, you ask? It's a proprietary technology to Oakley and available for everyday settings as well. You want to know more? Go over to Oakley.com and do your research. And while you're there, get yourself a pair of everyday glasses that'll be sure to change your look for the better. When you wear Oakley, there's really more than meets the eye. Don't trust me. Try it yourself. I've worn a lot of sunglasses in my lifetime. Oakley's definitely one of the best. Been rocking them since high school. So, like I said, head on over to Oakley.com for more information today. All right, Al. The fans have been waiting for this. The top 10 moments of the season, starting with number 10. And that is the youth movement, man. Quickly topping in Grimes, all dropping 30 points against the Pacers in a late season regular, in a late regular season game. We had the Knicks youngsters pouring it on in Indy, man. IQ, 39 points. Quentin Grimes with a team high, no, IQ with a team high 39 points. Quentin Grimes chipping in with 36, and Obi chipping in with 32 points, man, as the Knicks roll over a young Pacers team, 138 to 129. First time in Knicks history that a trio scored 30 points each since 1976 when Ray Williams, Earl the Pearl Monroe, and Toby Knight were the first to do it, man. And look, man, I think you can look at this game and you can say, well, it was a nothing game. They didn't play anybody, so on and so forth. But I think if you're watching this game, at least for me, from my perspective, you saw some promise. You saw what the Knicks youth movement could look like, what continued player development could look like. If you take a look at their individual seasons, IQ finishing second and sixth man of the year. Quentin Grimes certainly had some very bright spots, including this one this season. You know, not to mention drawing some of the hardest players to defend in the league. Quentin Grimes' matchup difficulty was probably at number one when it comes to guarding opposing guards and wings. Mm-hmm. So to kind of see this, to see them shine in this game, we know this is what Obi does when he gets his chances and he gets his minutes, kind of was an indicator of how well this front office has drafted in terms of individual players from where they were drafted and what could potentially be, man, if they're able to keep this unit together and seeing what these young guys can do year after year. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I enjoyed this game, watching it, not just because we beat the Pacers, not just because they got 30 points each, but I think you just see the talent, the drafting acumen of our front office. Even if all these guys don't pan out here or get that opportunity to shine, the fact that you can look at someone like Quentin Grimes and you just see that ferocious dunk that he has, right? It's just stuff like that where you're encouraged saying, what if we give these guys a little bit more roles in this offense? Could the Knicks be at another level? And seeing them capable of scoring 30 points, it's not easy in the league. I mean, we watched Frank Ntilikina around here, and he didn't do that, yeah. You know? So to see that we had three guys one night all get 30 points, and in a multitude of ways, like you see Obi right here with a step back three, right? Pump fakes, step back three. See Grimes, he can just knock down his three as well. Quickly, you're seeing he's able to add more to his game, a mid-range game, finish through contact, stuff like that. It's also reassuring of development that's occurring here on the Knicks. Take that next step. So I liked what this game had to offer from those aspects.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up on Free Boys. That was number 10, the Knicks trio going off. But number 9 now. Jalen Brunson hits the Big Apple, man. The big splash of the offseason was Jalen Brunson signing with the New York Knicks. Brunson signing a 4-year deal worth $104 million. And coming home to the New York Knicks, man, the team that drafted him. A big, big moment for the Knicks. But you know what? At the time, I'm not so sure it was celebrated that way. It wasn't celebrated that way.
It was
because even though we were able to see this kid on the playoff stage killing the Jazz, killing the Suns, there was questions, right? Could he replicate that same success here? The spacing was a big question mark, right? With Dallas playing more of a five-out style, could Brunson have the same impact playing in a lineup with RJ, Julius, Mitch, which still was clunky, but as you saw as the season went on, he was that guy, man. He was just what the doctor ordered for this team. An all-star in my book, an MVP candidate in my book. He was that good for this organization. He was that good for this team. Transformed this team season. Every bit a part of the 48 wins was Jalen Brunson, man. Captain Clutch, as I called him so many times this year. How many times in the fourth quarter with less than 5 minutes to go in a game did this kid just bail the Knicks out with spectacular plays, spectacular shots, getting to the free throw line, step back threes, just unlimited bag. And that was a big moment, man. Number 9 on the list, Al, the signing of Jalen Brunson.
Man, I was excited when we got him. I was like, all right, we finally got a competent point guard in the building, right? You see what he did with Dallas. You saw he was able to be a second option next to Luka Doncic. You saw what he did against the Utah Jazz while Luka was out, dropping over 30, two games to win. You're like, all right, we got a solid guy. I mean, we even did the whole weekly show, and the question was, is it still good getting Jalen Brunson on this team, even just for bare minimum development? And I said yes, just because this guy can organize this team. He has that same path as like Kyle Lowry and Mike Conley, whereas it takes time to develop the skill set of actually running a team, being a point guard. Very few guys can come into the league and do that. But I did not expect this. I mean, the fact that he went out swinging 40 points in a game 6 against Miami. We're talking about, we only lost by like, what, 4 points?
Yeah.
That's different, man. And you see what Miami has done to Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and you think that throughout that entire series, Jalen Brunson still figured out how to get his own shot. Still figured out how to drop 40 points, over 40 points. Eric Spoelstra's complimenting him, saying, how is he not all NBA? And I'm asking, like, he got snubbed. He got snubbed from a lot of recognitions this season. But he was that great of a signing. It's at number 9, but there are other good ones on the list that, you know, that top this.
Yeah. The good ones. And the next one is Jalen Brunson again, Al, because at number 8, Jalen Brunson leaves Alex Caruso in chalk. He caught a body. He caught a brutal, brutal basketball murder. And that was at the expense of a premium defender in Alex Caruso, man. Knicks versus Bulls back in December. Knicks in Chicago taking on this Bulls team, man. And after a back-and-forth game, which saw many lead changes, this game would go into overtime. And it was Brunson who catches Caruso with a filthy, absolutely filthy crossover, leaving him in his wake. And pretty much that was the dagger in this game, man, as the Knicks would go on to win 128-120 in overtime. And this play had the NBA world buzzing for probably about a week, man. I kid you not. I think I might have said RIP Caruso about 100 times on that post-game show alone. And it was just another one of those reminders of how good and how talented this kid was, man. Brunson with 30 points in that game. Julius Randle, 31. RJ, 22. A game where the Knicks' big three had some big moments. Quentin Grimes also came through in the clutch in the fourth quarter and overtime in this game with a couple of big threes. And that was a good win for the Knicks. It was part of their fifth in a row at that time, which was on their way to an eight-game winning streak.
On the way to an eight-game winning streak, to me jumping out the window. But before we get to me jumping out the window, had a terrible, like a jar of pickles reference that didn't slap or hit as I thought it would. But hey, not all of them are winners.
Hey, not all
of them are winners.
Not all of them are winners, man. That all in Edwards.
You know, we look at the progression. Like, we were there at the Detroit Pistons game, the home opener, right?
Yeah.
And everyone was like, we got on the Chase Bridge, we got a point guard. We got a point guard. And it's like, yeah, we got a point guard. We see that. This game to me was like the beginning of the coming out party for Jalen Brunson to be like, nah, let me show you how nice I am. Let me show you how good. Let me show you how reliable I am.
Yeah.
Right. 5-game winning streak. We had just beaten teams that were going through some injuries, like the Hawks. You didn't have, I think, DeJounte Murray left. So we're facing teams not at their full strength. And we hadn't seen how could we play against this is and this was after the 9-man rotation change. How could we defend against a good scoring team,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You still got Zach LaVine. You got DeRozan on the other side. You got to respect those guys. And to see the Knicks ball out the way that they did with Jalen Brunson leading the way with a clutch shot, that's where you know it's like, all right, we got that dude.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. And coming in at number 7, well, Al, Brunson had a hand in this one too, man, because it was one of the Knicks' statement wins of the season, and that was a 116-110 win over what could be the NBA champion, Denver Nuggets, who at that time on March 18th were the number one seed in the West. Came into Madison Square Garden at full strength. I was in the building for this one. Brunson coming back from a foot injury. First game back from the foot injury. Scored 16 points in the first quarter. And we had ourselves a good game, man. Knicks actually, you know, they took an early lead. But in the second half, found themselves down by as much as 13, man. But a monster comeback led by Brunson. Led by Julius Randle, R.J. Barrett also chipping in this game. Mitchell Robinson having some high marks there. You had 23 points combined between Quickley and Hart. And the Knicks were able to beat this Denver team, not once, but twice in the regular season. This game with the Nuggets having their guys at full strength. 116-110. Big win. To me, this was their biggest win of the season against the best team in the West, man. The best team in the West. What was your takeaways from this one?
You just – best team in the West, as you said. You're facing two-time MVP in Nikola Jokic. Jamal Murray, solid Robin to Jokic's Batman. Team is deep, as we're seeing throughout this playoff run. And for the Knicks to compete with them, this is where you knew you had something special for this team, and they could potentially make some noise in the playoffs. So – look, man, I thoroughly enjoyed this game. Jumped out the window for this one, as well as me and our guy Jeff, a.k.a. G-Money.
Yeah.
As our guy Cody Glock would say. You called in that day, too.
I called in late.
But it was a great – it was great, man. I just remember all the calls coming in. Like, the vibes were truly immaculate.
The vibes
day,
were
man.
Immaculate.
Truly immaculate that day. Everyone was just like, yo, we got this team. Love this team. I mean – It was top shelf, man.
Yeah.
Top shelf.
Yeah. Well, it was just one of those games where, you know, I hate to say a litmus test type of game because obviously in the playoffs things change, but it was just one of those games where you wanted to see how this team stacked up against the best. And in a matinee game at Madison Square Garden, they came to play. Like I said, this Denver team was at full strength. They had the Joker. They had the Joker. They had Murray. They had MPJ. They had all their guys. And the Knicks stepped up to the plate. And it was just part of them really taking form as they made their push for that fourth seed. They were in five. They were in four. They're trying to separate themselves from Miami and from the rest of the pack. But you kind of just saw how this team was starting to take form as they push towards the playoffs. And then with Brunson coming back from the foot injury, not sure how he would respond or how he would play, and having a big, big part of that. He had Brunson with 24, Julius with 20, RJ with 21. And then on that, one of the signature plays of that game was Brunson finding Mitch for the Gotham lob. And it was important for Mitch as well, because, you know, Mitch had been struggling going into that game as well. So it was kind of cool to see. And remember, this was a point where Mitch was tight because he didn't have a bigger role in the offense. He was looking for the ball more. So to kind of see that be kind of the icing on the cake in that game where it was a Brunson to Mitch on a Gotham lob signature win on a matinee, that was a good win. To me, that was the best win of the season for me for this Knick team.
For sure. And the last thing, too, is that you think about where they were coming from, that West Coast trip, right? Like, that was an up-and-down West Coast trip. You just lost after defeating Boston, double OT. You go home, you lose to the Hornets, you lose to the Kings, you then lose to the Clippers. You know, you beat the Lakers, you beat the Trailblazers, but you did without Brunson. But that team was very shaky, man. I mean, Grimes wasn't really getting to the rhythm on some of those games. Like, he was either utilized in the first quarter or the first half, then just went to the wayside. Julius was struggling in that series, quickly struggled a little bit throughout the West Coast trip. So to see this team get back into rhythm against one of the top teams in the West, I think that's another reason why this win was just so great.
Yeah, true indeed. Well said, man. And coming in at number six, Al, Julius. Yeah, we're going to show Julius some love. We're going to show Julius some love after Julius sends the Miami Heat and the faithful packing with a buzzer beater for the ages, man. Knicks at Heat in one of their signature rivalry games, man. This game had so many twists and turns in the fourth quarter. Plenty of lead changes, plenty of boneheaded plays, including this one that could have been by Julius because he loses the ball. I'm screaming at the TV, we don't need that. Give the ball up, pass the ball. You're about to turn it over. But Julius says, relax, I got this, and hits a miraculous, absolutely miraculous buzzer. Not a buzzer beater, but basically the game winner to send the Heat packing, man. And this was Julius, a 46-point game. Knicks beat the Heat 122 to 120. He runs over. They knock down Tibbs. Which was the best part of the whole thing. They pick up Tibbs, rub his head, and that was that, man. Next possession, Mitch steals the inbound play. We had MSG South Rock and Knicks fans going crazy in the building. 46-point outing for Julius Randle there, man.
That shot. I think we were discussing that night where it's like Julius takes some shots. We're like, no, yes. Right?
Oh, like, yeah. Brunson, he is that guy. He is like Brunson. Yeah. If no, yes was a person, there you go.
Yeah, 100%. Be Julius Randle. It's like with Brunson, you know what you're out, get out of Brunson. Like, okay, that's a shot he can make. All this. Julius, no, yes. And that shot, I was just shocked. Absolutely shocked because – you said, man, he's fumbling the ball over the place. You're like, what is this guy going to do? This is not the smoothest. This is the play you call out of a timeout? This is what we're running here? What's happening? And then for him to knock that down, and I know there's some Heat fans in here. There's a lot of you in here earlier talking about the Knicks and whatnot. Interesting you come to this channel. But, hey, we appreciate it. But to see that he did that, and then the best. Tibbs falling over, man. Thankfully, he's okay, but – it's not that he fell over, right? It's not that he just, like, went to the side or anything like that. It's legitimately cartoonish where his hands go in the air like, whoa!
Straight face planted. Incredible. But that was win number eight, Al, of the nine-game streak.
Look at that.
So another one where this Knicks team was just on a roll. And when you thought it was over, they gave you some more to be proud about, and just another win that just kind of just helped this team put it all together for the postseason. Now, unfortunately, Julius would end up getting injured by the same Miami Heat team near the end of the regular season and was a no-show in game six against this Miami Heat team. So one takeaway from this, regular season ain't the postseason.
But thank you for the memory.
Yeah. Yesterday's price is not today's price, man. Yesterday's season is not today's season. What a difference a month, 2 months makes. Just different teams, completely different teams on different trajectories. You know?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm just watching the highlight of
Tibbs falling over.
It really is just the greatest thing at this point.
Absolutely, man. All right. So that was 10 through 6. Lash was good. That was 10 through 6. And next week we will get 5-1. So let us know your thoughts in the comment section. What do you guys think 5-1 should be? What do you guys think about 10 through 6? What do you guys think about it, man? Leave some comments in the chat. Once again, KFTV, Knicks Weekly, episode 59, man. We're just recapping the news of the week. Happy, you know, post-Memorial Day weekend, everybody. Scott Perry out of here. He's leaving this summer. Contract is expiring. Both teams moving on. Both sides moving on. So we spent some time reacting to that. If you missed that, go ahead and rewind. Salute to the replay gang. Salute to everybody in the chat. As usual, hit that thumbs up button for your boys. And let's read some super chats while we pack up and get up out of here. Salute, salute, salute. Okay.
Do people even know what a rewind button is?
I don't know. Probably not these days. Probably not these days, man. Salute to Ryan Manimal Chuck D, $5 Super Chats. Says Miami scratched the opposition's eyes out. I've never seen a team so hungry. We punched their brains out. Everyone was banging them back except one. Salute to Nuke Trebien, $5 Super Chats. Says nah, but did y'all really peep Cat getting put on skates all season long trying to play D on the perimeter? And y'all talking about getting Cat? Please chill. Shout out to Gotcha Open, man. Gifted a franchise channel membership once again. Salute to them. Salute to the Haiku homie. Here's his latest release. He says, I found Randall's bike. Knew it wasn't his right away. It had no handles. The Haiku homie weighs in. That was it. That was I found no Randall's handle, bike. Randall. And knew it was his right away. It had no handles. You get it?
Yep.
Yeah, it's a good one. All right. All right, man.
No handle Randall, man.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, big week this week. Big week this week, man. You know, big week. We're going to come back live tomorrow night. And I got an announcement to make. An important announcement for the future of Knicks Fan TV, man. Very important announcement. I'm sending out the 5 alarm blaze tomorrow night. I'll let you guys know what time I go live. Maybe like around 5 o'clock. Big, big announcement on the way. So make sure you guys tap in and come back here. But we appreciate you guys tapping in, man. Great show. Great show all the mods. Great show to everybody in the chat. Great show, Al. And salute to Ninja Pete, man. Remember to support our sponsors, man. Manscaped.com. Use promo code KFTV for 20% off plus free shipping. And go to Oakley.com. Check out the latest summer collection, styling and profiling, man. Salute to Oakley. Salute to our guys, man. Salute to our sponsors. And that's it, man. Salute to the replay gang. Remember that this show is available in our audio podcast format, all the major podcast platforms. No reason to miss it. And we'll check you guys next show, man. See you, man. Peace. All right, great show, man.
Appreciate it. We're right back at you.
No answer from
Let me see if I got something from Brady. Mm-hmm. No, nothing from Brady yet.
Okay. All right.
Trying to think of a backup plan. Are you trying to get both done tomorrow? Is that it?
Ideally, I would try to get like one preview show with like combine both into one show.
Gotcha.
So recording everything, not going live, just recording everything, combine into one show.
Gotcha.
One podcast, but like two different videos.
Gotcha.
And then go from there. But
try hit me up tomorrow morning.
You have to try Wes.
Yeah, I can reach out to Wes.
Yeah,
I'll see what he says.
Yeah, try Wes. Try Wes in the morning and see what's up.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, keep me posted, man.
Yeah, no doubt. You said noon, right? Noon's when
Anytime after noon is good for me. All right, sounds good, man.
All right, bro.
Yep.
I'll catch you later, man. Good stuff.
All right, good stuff, bro. Later.